Hey guys, welcome to our podcast. This is our second Deep End podcast for TLC. My name is Travis. Thank you so much for listening. Just to give you a heads up, when we recorded this this podcast, the very beginning of it was recorded when I thought was supposed to be my regular mic. Was actually the built-in mic on my laptop was what was recording it. And about halfway through, we switched to the regular mic. So you're probably going to hear a little bit difference in quality. But just bear with us as you get through that. I think this is a very good one. And I'll see you guys on the other side. Welcome to the second Deep End podcast at TLC. My name is Travis. I'm with Dean today, Dean Mignani. Dean, welcome. Thank you for being with us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I know. So how have you been? How's Dean life?
I'm good.
Doing?
I'm real good.
Good. So how long have you been with TLC?
About 2005.
2005. Okay.
Yeah. That'd be about right. My son was about 3. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Wow. That's.
Yeah, he's almost flies. 17.
Time flies. Yeah. Wow. That is great. All right. So, what do you do at TLC? What are you?
Well, I'm in the praise band. I'm not a lead. I'm secondary singer. But I've been with the praise band for over 10 years. That's something that I really, really, really enjoy doing.
I enjoy singing with you, too, so.
Appreciate that.
Not a problem.
Becky and I greet. We've done that for years, too. But, you know, that's only a three-month rotation, so I don't really think that's that big of a commitment. But we do that. Becky and I were with the youth for 8 years. And, it really broke me up when I walked away from the youth because I felt like I was letting them down. But at the same rate, I was just burnt out. And it's just one of those things where, you know, if you're not serving with a grateful heart,
right,
you're doing nobody no good. So I enjoyed those 8 years, but at the same rate, you know, when they opened up the fair, I went into other things where I could serve.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm on grounds and housekeeping now.
Right. You said that you clean the church every Thursday, right?
Yeah. Well, it's once a month.
Once a month. Well,
It's going to be much more though when we get to the bigger building.
Absolutely.
So.
No, but that's a huge thing. Like, I think that's one thing that a lot of people take for granted a lot is the fact that, like, they come into a clean church and they just assume that it's always going to stay clean. No, we have people that that work a lot and work hard to make sure that place is maintained. So yeah, that's amazing that you do that.
Yeah, I enjoy doing that. And, you know, I work with Greg Morgan, and I've got a good friendship with him since we served together in that capacity where, you know, as I didn't know, you know, Greg's a lot quieter than Connie is. You know, I'm pretty tight with Connie, but, you know, Greg was really quiet until I got to know him, you know, so.
Right. And to go back to, like, the fact that, like, being torn up about leaving the youth ministry, I think it's great that, like, when you, like, you stepping away gives someone else an opportunity to step up. Because I think, like, even I've always known that, like, the Mignanis were with youth all the time. And that was their thing, and they were always there. And it's now given other people opportunities to really step up and to really lead that youth. And, like, I'll be honest, like, your time's about done. Your youngest one is going to be...
Seven. Yeah. Getting ready to be 17.
Yeah, and yeah. We'll be walking that graduation stage in a few years. So, like, you're...
Yeah, 6th through 12th for Hannah and Madison. Uh-huh. We were there for that, and we were there for part of Adam. But like you said, I think Crystal's doing a wonderful yeah. job with Josiah and, of course, Aaron, you mm-hmm. know. But, yeah, you know, we love kids. It was just time.
It was time. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. But, yeah, I'm glad that you're doing other things, and it's great to see that as well. So... Let's go back to the early days of Dean. Like, how did you meet Christ?
You know, when I was in the military, you know, when I was a little boy, mm-hmm. you know, Mom and Dad always dropped us off at church. And, you know, it was one of those things where they felt it was important for us, but it wasn't important for them. Yeah. You know, so, you know, but I had it when I was little, but, you know, I didn't actually get baptized till I was 40 years old. So, you know, I didn't have that advantage that a lot of these young people have now. And I stress that they've probably heard it from Anthony when he was a high schooler. Mm-hmm. They probably, you know... I beat it in the ground because I felt it was important. They had a huge advantage of knowing Christ at a young age, and I never had that. So, you know, you're way ahead of the game if you know Christ before 40 years old, you know? So.
Right.
But, you know, went to church, wasn't, I mean, a real believer. Yeah, I was basically a seat, you know. Mm-hmm. Sitting in a seat, but, you know, and then I went into the military and I had a buddy that continuously begged me to go to his church. So, yeah. You know, I went with him and, you know, but it was off and on. I really didn't come to know Christ until we started a family and I actually got Saturdays and Sundays off. I had Thursday and Friday off days for 14 years. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Just give me the opportunity for a Sunday off so mm-hmm. I can go to church with my family.
Yeah.
And I remember that very well because it's something that I prayed a lot about. And Christy Fallis told me, she said, "I'm praying for you too, Dean." She goes, "And there's no doubt in my mind you're going to get that promotion." You know, and that was a real eye-opener for me when I got it because Christ has just been so much more in my family's lives than I ever even imagined, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I want to spend this time with my family at church on Sunday, and it's just been so much more. I mean, I've been on 4 mission trips with my family, and, you know, you can't beat that. So, you know, he's definitely transformed my mind and my heart from what I thought Christ was to what I know he is now.
Yeah.
So...
But, yeah, that's great. That's great to hear. So, when you became 40 and you started to become you got baptized and you got into that, what was the sudden change? Like, what got you to that point? What was your journey like to get it at once you became 40?
Well, I will say that, you know, when my children were little, I was trying to instill in them the importance of Christ. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's more so a push from my wife. You know, she told me all about Chris. And, "Dean, you really, really ought to come. You'd really, really enjoy this. And, you know, Chris is your regular everyday sports guy just like you are. He loves sports. Dean, I think you'd really, really like Chris." And I said, "All right, I'll give it a shot." And, you know, I mean, the first time I met Chris, our pastor, he was just so real. There wasn't anything fake about him. And that's what drew me to the church. And then as I got baptized, you know, it was like a clean slate. You know, it just hit me all at one time. Everything that I've done in the past, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. What matters now is living for Christ. You're brand new. You're reborn, as they say, when you're baptized. And, you know, we falter every single day, but, you know, that's my goal, to live for Him, you know, and it's been that way since I got baptized in 08, January of 08. And I got baptized with my wife. My children were baptized later, couple years later, but you know, that was something personally that they chose to do. I didn't want them to come to Christ through me and Becky. I wanted them to come through Him, through Him. And you know, when they were ready, they did that.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah, I'll say this though, like you are probably one of the most positive people I've ever met in my life. As far as everything that you say, like every Facebook post that you put up there, every Facebook post that you put up is something inspirational, something happy, something that's uplifting. And in a world today to where it's just so full of hate and so full of judgment and so full of self-righteousness, it's always a breath of fresh air to where either you are saying something spiritually uplifting, you're sharing some sort of Christian quote or Bible verse or something like that, or you're talking about your terrible Cowboys, or or
it's
you're,
been a long 23 years.
It has been a very long 23 years for you. Or you're sharing a picture of your latest picture of your cat, which is great as well.
Becky hates it, by the way.
It's great. I love it all. So I think that's great, and I really want to commend you for that. And something that I want to let you know that I personally I look up to you for is just your constant positivity and your constant you just always seem to be looking at the bright side on everything, and you never complain about anything. You're just always ready for the next challenge, and I love that.
Becky would disagree.
I'm just saying, like, as far as...
I appreciate that. I really do. And, you know, Travis, I've struggled a lot with social media because it just bothers me to the core so much, the left and the right, the political stuff.
Absolutely.
It drives me nuts. All it causes is division and hate, and I absolutely hate it. So I got a good word from a friend about a month ago about scrolling past it and praying about it, and you know, that's helped me a lot. But I would say the single most important thing in my life through coming through Christ is repentance. If you have no repentance for what you've done wrong, because every one of us falls short every single day. There's no perfect person in a church. There ain't no two ways about that. But, you know, if you don't have remorse for doing things wrong, and I believe that's the Holy Spirit speaking to me about the way He wants me to live my life. So... like I said, Dean falls short a lot. So, but
yeah.
Singing with you guys, I mean, you know, to get that from you, as far as looking up to me, I feel the same way about you guys. I feel blessed to be on the stage with you guys, and I believe our praise and worship team is the best place it's ever been right now, because that's exactly what it is praise and worship.
Yeah.
I don't want to put down anybody who served there before, but, you know, Josiah bringing in, you know, questions and worship and prayer before and after the sets, and praying that it's for His glory and not our own. I mean, God just takes over in those situations, and
right,
you know, it's good.
It is very good, and I love the mentality of our worship team, our praise team right now, because it's all about what we can do to give glory to God, and it's less and less about who's the better singer, who's the most talented. I don't think that any of us really care about that anymore, or I don't think any of us care about it nearly as much as we used to. And I think it's great. Like, any one of us can sing any of the other songs, and no one gets angry at, like, I'm just thinking of other things that I've seen other worship teams struggle with, as far as like someone that thinks they're talented enough to sing more songs than anyone else, and they get upset because they're not singing. That's not existent in our worship team. So, yeah, you're right. I think that where that's headed is amazing, and I love worshiping with everyone. I love worshiping with you just as much, and yeah, I think that's great. All right, so let's go ahead and dig into what Chris was talking about this week, as far as giant killers being broken people. So how did that speak to you, Dean?
I think a lot of the brokenness went with answered prayers this week. My Friday and my Saturday, I was just on cloud nine for prayers from the past, and you know, losing a little bit of faith and being broken when it doesn't happen like you want it to happen.
Right.
It's His will, and we all know that it's His will, and when He wants it to happen, it's going to happen. But, you know, Dean doesn't have a lot of patience, so.
No.
But, you know, Hannah, my oldest, is in the National Guard, and what's holding Hannah back from promotion right now was her PT test. And unlike me and her mother, who were on active duty, you know, Hannah works a lot of hours. So Hannah only does the National Guard part-time, one weekend a month, two weeks in the summer. And, you know, she doesn't have PT physical training every single day like Becky and I did. So she's really struggled with her PT test, which was holding her back from promotion and her college money, you know. And she works a lot of hours at her job, and, you know, Hannah knocked out that PT test this weekend. And, you know, Becky and I prayed about that for so long, and it was just, you know, through all the brokenness and the sadness for our daughter and wanting her to succeed, you know, He showed his glory, you know. And, you know, Madison coming home right now and all the trials and tribulations she's had from being, you know, a freshman through her first semester away from home and everything. You know, it was just Friday and Saturday, nothing could have stole my joy, you know, with the family being home and, you know, going out to dinner with the fam, you know, so, which I'm so used to. I mean, you know, God offers you things in your life, you know, which you think are broken. Because when Madison left and Hannah bought a house, you know, I'm so used to, like most parents, my family being close-knit and us doing everything together. You know, like I said, we did mission trips together, you know, vacations, cruises, stuff like that. You know, we come from a big family and we like being together. And that was a tough thing for me, letting my kids go, you know, as my wife would say, cutting the apron strings, you know. I just don't want to let them go. And the fact that, I don't know, there's just little stages in that brokenness and that sadness where He reveals Himself in a much better light. You get to share the joy in their accomplishments and everything, which,
you know, when they're younger, they have accomplishments too, but they're always there, you know. Right. There will be days that you don't talk to them because you don't see them, you know, or they're busy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know that doesn't really have a lot to do with brokenness, but that's what really spoke to me with defeating giants, because there's, you know, there's nothing more powerful than God and His will for us. And, you know, he's definitely, you definitely have to be broken by waiting, as Chris said in his sermon on Sunday. You know, if you don't have any waiting, there isn't going to be any brokenness. If he granted everything we wanted, you know, it would be like, you know, the, oh gosh, what's his name? Jim Carrey and...
Bruce Almighty.
Yes. Yeah. You know, you can't just get on a computer, play God, and say everybody's granted.
No,
then
right.
A million people win the lottery. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, you have to have brokenness, and you have to get on your knees and come to Him in that brokenness. Right. And that's when He shows His true glory. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just a great weekend. Madison's home the rest of the week, so I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, that's what it meant to me as far as giants, you know, obstacles in your way. And, right. You know, granted, they're 21 and 19 years old, but they're still my babies. They always will be, so.
Of course. And I think that's great. I mean, I think that is a very good... I think it's a very common thing to feel. I think that every parent has gone through that. I think every
absolutely
every child that has been in a close-knit family has been in their shoes as well. And I'm sure that it's not nearly as easy for them as they try to make it out to be. And I think that just as much as you're struggling, I think that I think you'd find that your kids are probably struggling just as much as you are. But the great thing is that they're able to get it done because they've had you to really be that person that they look after and they look up to for the last 18 years until they were finally able to say, you know what, I can do this too. Luckily they had you to be the Christian man that you are and say that, hey, you're able to do this as long as God's right there with you and God's doing it for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is, I think that, yeah, that's pretty much the exact thing of being a broken person.
And that's the promise, Travis. I mean, regardless of the failures that my children go through or me and my wife go through, we know that He's got us.
Yeah.
And there's no better feeling than that. I mean, you get frustrated and you get heartbroken and this and that, but you know in the end that he's got it taken care of. And any obstacles or failures that they have, I know they're going to be all right because they do lean on Him. And I don't think they're all different. All three of them are different, but you know, they know how important Christ is in their life.
Right.
And that makes me very happy, so.
And I think that's one thing that the skit, which your wife did amazingly well, by the way. I think that's what really, that was the whole point of that entire skit, was just to say that no matter what you're going through, no matter how hard things are, God's got you. And he'll be there right with you. And we can go into the cheesy footprints in the sand type of thing and
right.
Talk about during the hardest parts, that's when I carried you. And we can laugh about how cheesy that is and how it's the first poem that any Christian thinks about, but it's true. And I think that's amazing. And I saw some pictures someone posted on Facebook, and not even in our church, and... which fits so well with this Giant Killer series that we're in. And it said, David never experienced just how powerful Goliath was, because his focus was always on God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that says a lot, that like, no matter what we're going through, we really, if we focus on God, we will never really experience just how hard it is and just how tough our experiences are, because that's not where our focus is going to be. If we focus on the problem, we're going to feel the brunt of the problem. But if we focus on God and focus on the one that's going to get us out of it, I think that it's not going to be as difficult for us to fight that Goliath.
And what an example of a servant David was. Mm-hmm. I mean, after he's granted king, he goes back out to the field to do work. I mean, he was totally humbled by what God gave him, but at the same rate, he didn't let it go to his head. He realized right. who was in charge and who was in control of everything.
Right. And I think I said this on the podcast with Josiah, but he got Cinderella'd. Like, all of his ugly stepbrothers were in there ready to
pounce on him.
Pounce on that kingdom ship. And he was like, no, there's another brother out there. And they're like, no, he's not. He's doing other things. That shoe doesn't fit him. Not at all. So I think that like, that really like shows just how much was up against David during his childhood. Like, he, as Chris said, he was the illegitimate son of Jesse, and no one really wanted anything to do with him, and he was left to watch over sheep for his entire childhood life, and God took that and allowed him to allowed to look after an entire nation because of it. And I think that what God can do with us at our lowest points shows us what he can do with us when he takes us to our highest.
Absolutely. And you know, it's funny you brought up Footprints in the Sand. It's one of mm-hmm. my favorites. But Travis, I'm on the same sheet of music with you. I've got nothing against Joel Osteen, but Joel Osteen is all glitter and rainbows. You know, if you serve God, he wants you to have this big house. You know, he's a great public speaker, but sometimes I question this. This is the way I've always found out since following Christ. If you have no obstacles in your life, you're not following God. I mean, he's going to throw obstacles in your way. He's not going to make it easy for you. Right. And if being a Christian is easy, I'd question your Christianity. And I wouldn't question somebody personally. I'm just making a statement.
No, I agree.
You know? So
I think that Joel Osteen, yes, he has done a lot of good. I think that he has brought a lot of people to Christ. Do I question his mentality about it? Yeah, absolutely. But it's very interesting to see the whole, if you do this, then good things will happen to you now. And I think that that's the wrong, the wrong mindset, because if God doesn't promise us heaven here. And I think that is, that's something that we should all be aware of, that, things are going to be tough. Things are going to be hard, and God's going to be there with us during that time.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, is there anything you want to wrap up with, Dean? Anything you want to say?
No, I appreciate you, you making the trek out here after work. You know, Becky and I live in the Pawpaw Patch, so, you know, it's quite a bit of a drive for you, so I appreciate you doing that. And, you know, we're excited at TLC, you know. We've got a brand new church that God's provided us with, and...
building. We are the church.
Absolutely.
We are, as the people, the church.
I'm glad you said that.
We have a brand new building that God has blessed us with, which is great. I don't want to put that down at all. But Absolutely. It's not the church. The church can be anywhere. We can all praise God on the back in your pool, and it'll be the church. But but yes, it's great new building. Sorry, I didn't mean to stop you there.
No, you're right.
I've stumbled across that and called it the church as well, so I want to put a stop to that, at least in my mind. But yeah, go ahead.
That's pretty exciting, though.
It is. It's extremely exciting.
Serving the community, in our community, and not going out to the mission fields in different countries or different states. You know, I think God is...
Are you talking about the backyard project?
Yes.
This year?
I think he's guiding our church in the right direction, because, you know, we're all God's people, and we don't need to go across the earth to serve people around us.
And us going across the earth to serve people around us isn't a bad thing.
Right.
But I think this year, it was very telling, and I'm on the mission team, and just to give you an insight of what we were thinking when we decided to do this, was that there were so many things and so many people that needed help and needed work and needed something to do it to help, and there really wasn't anyone out there. Like, no, there's no missions trips coming from New Orleans out here to help, so we're like, why are we waiting for someone else to come help them when we're going out to New Orleans or Zimbabwe or Haiti, when, well, let's just do it ourselves. And so yeah, I'm excited about that. If you have any questions on that, See My Mother, Lisa Tilton. Nice plug there. Blackyard Project. Check it out. It's going to be awesome. But yeah, Dean, thank you so much for doing this with me. This was a blast. Next week, I'm going to be with Chris. And Chris and I are going to wrap up the entire Giant Killer series. And we're going to give you a little bit of a taste of what the next series is going to be, heading into Easter. So... I'm excited about that, but thank you, listeners. Hopefully listeners, not just one listener. Hopefully there's at least two, maybe more. We'll see. But yeah, thank you so much for listening to us tonight, and today, or this morning, or whenever you decide to listen to it, because it's your choice. You choose when you want to listen.
And but I held it together. I didn't cry once.
You didn't cry once, which I was hoping for, kind of. But yeah, have a nice night, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.